This is the first time that we're meeting two times on a Sunday morning, and it's be the first time I've ever preached the same message in one morning. So thank you for being here. May the grace of God be with each one of us here this morning. Thank you again, Brother James, for sharing your testimony. Why don't we stand to our feet, start with a word of prayer, and then we'll proceed. Father, we come before you again this morning, and we come in the powerful, mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for not only what he can do in a sinner's life, but Father, what he has done and that which you continue to do. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for each one that is here this morning that has experienced your saving grace. Father, thank you for each one that's walking in the resurrected power of Jesus. We commit ourselves to you, Father. We ask that you would put your blessing upon your word. We pray that it would fall on fertile soil, spring up and bear fruit, and that your name would be exalted through it all. Be with us. Thank you, Father, for being with us. Thank you for the promise that where two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst. We pray these things, Jesus.
Welcome here.
The message this morning is a follow-up message on the previous two messages that I preached on musing and amusing. I hope that in some way our eyes were opened and maybe not anew, but perhaps just opened again to the reality that there is a lot of dangers involved in this whole aspect of being amused, but there's also a great need and great blessings that come from musing. You know, as God's people, we've been called to muse. We've been called to think. The Christian life is a life for someone that is willing to think. God is not, we say it, God's kingdom is not made up of robots. Yeah, it's made up of people who are willing to think and who on their own decide that I want to please God. I want to walk in his ways. If you look at society around us, much of what we would say is, you know, the sad state of our society has come as a result of a lack of musing, a lack of people who's willing to think. We live in a society where people swallow up pretty much anything that comes their way. People say this is good, the crowd says this is good, so people swallow it up and go with it. And sadly, the Christian world, the Christian society finds themselves right in the middle of all that. I trust it's not that way here with us, but that's nonetheless where we find ourselves, and we face this thing of entertainment flashing before us from all sides, being presented in many different ways, and it's there to grab our attention. It's there to get a hold of us and suck us in. We face the danger of letting others do the thinking for us, and then we just accept what they say, and we go along with it. I'm not implying or saying that that's where we are, but we face those things. Those things are real. So the message today is a message as a follow-up to the previous two messages. And we want to look at or give out some principles out of God's Word, very specifically in light of the whole topic of entertainment. I know that, I'm not sure who's all would have been here some years ago. I'm not even sure how many years ago I would have preached a series of messages on the Christian life and entertainment. Who was all here? Who recalls that series of messages? So nonetheless, years have gone by, and I think today it's good to be reminded. Also want to say that I'm not here today to give us a list of do's and don'ts as far as, we're not going to generate a long list of bad entertainment and good entertainment. Much more so, the desire is, although we will give some specifics, Lord willing, the desire is much more so to give out some principles out of God's Word so that as we come in contact or we come face to face with opportunities, various opportunities of entertainment, that we have some principles out of the God's Word that can direct us and help us make the right decisions. I want to start by reading the two verses that we used in the last two messages, Proverbs 14:13. Even in laughter, the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Again, that verse just brings out the very the fact, the reality that there's a lot of people that appear to be happy, that appear to be joyful, that appear to have life going for them. They seem happy. They have laughter. You see them running all over the place. And yet, for many of them, it's nothing more than just a cover-up of a deep need and hurt, perhaps, in their own life. Laughter covering up pain, sorrow. Proverbs 21:17, he that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. The title of the message today is Godliness and Entertainment. Godliness and Entertainment. When you think of entertainment, just give you a moment here to think, how easy can you come up with 10 forms of entertainment? 10 types, 10 different ways of entertainment. Probably not too difficult. There's so many, many ways, options out there of entertainment. But no matter which ones you came up with, it is crucial that we understand the principles of God's Word as we face those opportunities. Now again, we've already concluded in our previous messages, there is good entertainment, there's healthy entertainment, and then there's that which is not healthy, that which is evil, that which is bad. But to be driven for entertainment is wrong across the board. Whether it's good and healthy entertainment, or if it's bad, evil. To be driven by this craze for entertainment is wrong. He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He will not prosper. If we fail to understand the principles given in God's Word, we will set ourselves up for failure time and again. We might find ourselves that we're all over the road of entertainment. We might find ourselves that today, this is a no. I can't go there. We can't go there as a family. But then tomorrow, because we're missing the principles out of God's Word, we don't have a solid foundation upon which we stand, tomorrow it's okay. Tomorrow we don't even blink an eye at it. We just enjoy it thoroughly. And then the next day it's wrong again. And we confuse ourselves, we confuse our children, and we lose out. Inconsistent. You know, we might have been brought up, and that might have affected us. You know, thinking of the home that I grew up in, my father was a very firm father, and there was absolute no's, and they stayed. They remained that way. But never did my father sit us down and tell us, because the Word of God says this, that's why we say no. That's why we will not grant you permission to go there and do that. It was just a no. And sadly, I have to say, I don't know if my father had a biblical principle upon which he was standing. I think he was with every good intention in his heart, just simply saying no. And I'm glad he did. But that alone is not sufficient for life. Because it's too easy to sway, to deviate from that no, because we're missing the authority of God's Word that directs us, that gives us the no. If we don't have that biblical foundation, the principles of God's Word, then it becomes tradition without a foundation, which turns into legalism. And legalists, they might have some good reasons for why they do or don't, but most legalists become very inconsistent. So it is of utmost importance that we base our decisions of what is good or what is evil on solid biblical principles. I want to just say this, that God has given us His principles in His Word for a twofold purpose at least, and we're applying them specifically to the topic of entertainment. Reason number one for the principles in God's Word is so that we can discern what is good and evil and then enjoy that which is good. God wants us to enjoy it. There's certain elements of entertainment that are good, that are right. Entertainment that inspires us, encourages us, draws us closer to God. Good. So God gives us the principle in His Word for the purpose that we can discern what is good, what is pleasing to Him. And as it pleases Him, as we engage in those things that please Him, we can do it with a very free and clear conscience. enjoy ourselves, enjoy our family in that thing. The second reason why God's given us the principles in His Word is to protect us from that which is unhealthy, that which is perhaps even foolish. When you think of entertainment and you try to view entertainment and think about entertainment through the mind of God, is there any specific verse that comes to your mind almost instant? Something out of the Bible. I'm going to give you a verse that comes to me almost instant. I'm wondering if you have the same thing. Not necessarily the same verse, but if the same thing happens. Here's the verse that comes to me. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh no pleasure in the legs of man. Psalm 147, verse 10. And I gave the morning group a little homework assignment. I'm going to give you the same assignment. Take Psalm 147 and pay close attention to verses 1 through 9. And then from I read to you verse 10. And then pay close attention to verses 11 through 20. And I think you will understand why God would say that He takes no delight in the strength of a horse no delight in the strength of a horse and no pleasure in the legs of man. It's very interesting that verse is right in the middle of the way we have the scripture broken into chapters. Very interesting. And I would love to hear some of your thoughts as you look at Psalm 147 and pay attention to it. What is entertainment? When you think of entertainment, if someone was to ask you to define entertainment, how would you define it? And I'm actually asking for, okay, anyone else care to give an idle use of the mind? And it's an interesting answer because in some way, entertainment numbs the mind, lulls the mind to sleep, and yet it is. It's totally, totally true. Here's a definition for entertainment, which I find very interesting as I look up the word. It comes from a Middle French term meaning enter and to hold, to maintain, to keep hold or maintain the mind, as in to entertain an idea or to receive and take into consideration, as in to entertain a proposition. You know, when you think of entertaining, and again, positive, good, healthy entertaining here, would be singing. You know, we can have corporate church group singing. You could have a youth group come and do some singing. And as we sit there and we listen, we are being entertained. But it's wholesome entertainment. It's entertainment that is geared and designed to direct our thoughts and affection to God. It is geared and designed so that we would worship God. That's good, wholesome entertainment. It causes us to think, to ponder God and His ways. You have storybooks, good, healthy books that cause you to do the same thing. That's good entertainment. We don't live for that. We shouldn't be living for that, but it has its place. And now, this word entertainment has the meaning of amusement or diversion, especially that provided by performers. So, rather somewhat ironic, a word that at one time meant to occupy the mind is a synonym of a word amuse, which means the exact opposite to nothing, right? Remember, literally, the word amuse means without thinking or without being absorbed in thought. So the goal and the purpose of the message today, I'm going to use the word entertainment in a very broad sense. When you think of entertainment, it can be electronic gadgets that attract you. It can be a family vacation. It's very, very broad. I would endeavor to say that there's not a single family trip that we've gone on where we didn't have some form of entertainment. We enjoy going on a family trip. We enjoy going to waterfalls. It's entertaining. It's a form of entertainment. But we choose the things that don't distract us, that don't derail us from the Christian faith. The heavens declare the glory of God. Just to go out there and take a walk in the nature, it's relaxing. It's encouraging. It's almost re-energizing. It has its place. Go outside, work in the garden. Go outside, make a fire, sit around a fire. Go for a walk and sit by the water. To me, it has an entertaining effect, but it doesn't remove God, and that's key. It's key. So we're going to use the word entertainment in a very broad sense of any distracting activity that is done for enjoyment. To help us in making this very practical, I have five questions that we want to consider this morning. Five questions, they fall into five different categories that I think would be good and healthy for us to ask ourselves before we engage in any form of entertainment. The first question is finances. If financial costs are involved, then ask yourself, do I have the money? And if you do have the money, then ask yourself, would it be money well spent? Number two, time. Is it a way of redeeming the time? Remember, the title of the message is Godliness and Entertainment. So will the way I spend my money, will it enhance, will it complement godliness? The time invested in this activity, whatever it is the time well redeemed, invested? Will it complement godliness? The third question is influence. How will this activity influence me? And how will I influence others who are with me? Number four, discern the type of entertainment. What's the content of the entertainment? And then lastly, look at the effect of entertainment and ask yourself, does this thing control me? Five questions. Not in any specific order of importance, just simply, I don't know, I guess I found that's how they came to me, and that's just kind of how they flow. Before we consider these five questions, though, I feel like I need to make an appeal to our hearts. Unless our desire to be godly is greater than any other desire, then everything that we say here this morning will just go in one ear and out the other. If we don't have a great desire, the greatest desire of our heart, to be godly, then this will not mean all. But I trust that we're here, that we want to be godly. Amen? We want to be godly. We want to become more godly. No? Do we? More godly? What if that means cutting some things off that we're doing? So we want to become more godly? I think we do. I hope we do. Sometimes we don't think about that when we think of becoming more godly, that sometimes things need to be pruned out of our life. The greatest desire of our heart should be to be godly. The title is Godliness and Entertainment. Otherwise, the principles that we will look at here this morning will be irrelevant, because the principles will go contrary to the desire of our heart. You see that? If our heart is not to be godly, the principles of God's word, of God, they are godly. They're from God. Then they will go contrary to our desires. You know, those who desire to please God more than self will pursue godliness. They will pursue godliness and only engage in a form of entertainment that complements that desire of the heart. Those who desire to please self more than God will reveal their selfishness and their pursuits of entertainment. What was the issue with the prodigal son given in the parable that Jesus gave there in Luke 15? What was the issue there with that young man? What caused him to forfeit the wealth that he had with his father and end up hoping that somebody would offer him swine food? What was the cause of all of that? We can look at that parable and say, well, you know, it's a great story, beautiful picture of a father and forgiveness. It is. It absolutely is that. But this young man had a problem. He wasn't living for his father. He was living for himself. We know that that story, that parable, is more than just a physical happening that happened. It's there for a spiritual application for us. Entertainment, living for entertainment, is a sure way to rob our wealth with God. You know, we have a tremendous inheritance with God through Jesus Christ, do we not? I mean, look at Ephesians. Look at the book of Ephesians, full of it. What we have inherited through Christ, the riches. But we can forfeit that through the means of entertainment. The prodigal son, he left everything, forfeited everything, and he lived a righteous life. He did exactly what our two verses that we read earlier. He would have appeared to be happy, but his heart was sinking. He was a man that was living for pleasure, and he became a poor man. So poor that he hoped somebody would offer him hog food. Let's not allow entertainment to rob
us of our wealth with God.
What is our desire? What is our, one of our, you know, I almost hesitate asking what is our greatest desire, because how do you know? How do you know what is the greatest desire of your heart, my heart? But we're going to ask it anyway. What is our greatest desire? Jesus tells us, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I'm going to ask a question. Out of the hundreds and thousands of forms of entertainment that are out there, could any one of those be a treasure or become a treasure to us? I think we would be a fool to say no. What is a treasure? Well, a treasure is something that our heart attaches itself to, right? The things that our heart attaches itself to. That is a treasure. Jesus is not against treasures. He says, just make sure that your treasure's up there, not down here. Because down here, you're going to have others competing for that treasure. You have those who are going to come and try to steal it from you. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where there's no moth, no rust. Thieves don't break in or steal. Lay up your treasures up there. So, the form of entertainment, the only form of entertainment that we should enjoy is that which causes our heart to rise up there. A lot of people living for earthly treasure. Jesus says very plainly, where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And we've heard it, probably all of us have heard that statement being denied, right? No, my heart's not there. What are you talking about? Come on. Living in denial. And it proves it when you try to touch that treasure. Just with one finger, just put one finger on it. And then they are quick to say, don't touch that. Why are you picking on that? Oh, but it's not your treasure. Why are you so protective of it? Let it go. If your heart's not there, that should be no big deal. Right? But the fact that we protect it proves what Jesus said is true. Where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And where a heart is, it hurts when it gets touched, especially when it's supposed to be something removed. There's people that live for fame. There's people that live for power. Jesus touched on all of those things. But what is our desire? What are we living for? Is our greatest desire to be godly? Godly. I have 5 questions here that each question has a two-part to it. The first is positive. The latter is negative. I'm going to ask them just to cause us to think, not because I'm doubting you. What is your greatest desire? What is it that you and I desire? Is it godliness and purity or selfishness and pleasure? Is it treasures in heaven or treasures on earth? Is it glory from God or glory from men? Is it to be a servant of the king of the universe or king of our own small little world? Do I want to become like Christ or be conformed to the world? And I hope we answer to the first part of every one of those questions, that I want to be godly. It's my desire to be godly. It's my desire to have treasures in heaven. It is my desire to have glory from God. It is my desire to serve the King of the universe. It is my desire to become more like, to have the first part of those questions as a reality in our lives and become more of a reality. It behooves us to choose our entertainment very carefully, or we'll end up at the latter end. So let's consider these 5 questions. First one being finances. We know that many things in the way of entertainment in this life require money. So what do finances have to do with godliness? I mean, we understand that finances can be a, you know, part of the entertainment cost and all of that, but what has it got to do with godliness? Our attitude and the manner in which we handle our finances reveals a lot of our character, whether it's godly or ungodly. Why? Because what we spend our money on reveals what is important to us. If something is not important to us, we will likely not spend $5 on it. But if it is important to us, we're willing to spend $50 on it because we deem it valuable enough. So money, the way we handle it, what we spend it on, reveals to a degree the desires of our heart. When it comes to entertainment choices, should ask ourselves, now I'm giving entertainment as a broad spectrum in a very broad term, but right now I'm using it in the sense of that the entertainment form of itself is not questionable. Okay? An innocent, good, clean, healthy entertainment. Okay? In that context, we should ask ourselves, do I have the money for it? Can I afford it? And then right next to it, if I can afford it, should I at this time afford it? Is it money well spent at this time? Money. Money is money, right? We can't get away from it. And in some sense of the word, it's just simply money. It's got very little value. We can't take it with us when God takes us home. We're not going to take it with us to heaven. It's money. It's earthly. We'll leave it here. But as much as money is just money and it's a thing of this world, we should use it wisely. We should spend money, again, in the context of entertainment, only as it would bless and complement godliness. Go on a family trip, it'll cost money. No questions asked. Like I said, every trip that we've ever gone on includes some form of entertainment. I'm fascinated by the thought that God loves to entertain his people. God loves to do that. The world has taken a lot of the, what I would call the natural things in life, and put a price tag to it. You know, they're getting thousands and millions of dollars from people coming to view, you know, whether it be the Niagara Falls, whether it would be, I've never gone to the Grand Canyon, but I've heard it's pretty spectacular. There's, you know, places of major attractions, some of them natural. Disasters have caused these things to come about, and people jump on it and charge for you to come and look at it. Well, if it's within your means and you have, you know, it's timing is right, whatever. I mean, I'm not in any way saying you shouldn't pay to go see something. Go on a trip, you just factor in the fact that it's going to cost you some money. Just the fact that you're driving and you'll be eating and you'll be sleeping. It'll cost you money somewhere along the line. I don't think we should regret a single dollar spent on a family. I'm just going to use the family setting. We shouldn't regret a single dollar spent, being that it's being spent wisely. It's just money. And if you can build family memories, draw the family together, spend it. It's just money. But on the other hand, it's not just money. It's a very powerful resource. Money has the power to unlock a lot of doors that you, without money, could never enter through. So be wise. Money spent that does not complement, that does not promote godliness, would be better given to a beggar than to spend. We need to remember we're not created for entertainment. As part of God's creation, we enjoy entertainment, but we're not created for the purpose of entertainment. Entertainment is something that we like to do, but don't need to do. Our society would tell us otherwise. Well, you have to, but we don't have to. We don't need to. We'll be fine as God's people if we never have a source of entertainment. We'll be just fine. But I don't think there's such a thing as going through life without any form of entertainment. I am greatly entertained when I'm somewhere and I see little children. That's a form of entertainment to me. Interacting. So it's kind of hard to even fathom a world where there's no entertainment. That's why we have no need for a television, right? We have families. We don't need a television. So do I have the funds? You know, and if you don't have the funds, I don't like the idea, the thought of some people saying, 5 years down the road, they're paying for their vacation, you know, that they took today. It'll take 5 years to pay off that vacation. Number two, time. Does time management have anything to do with godliness? You know, everything that we said about finances would apply here as well to some degree. With money, we ask, do I have the money? With time, we don't ask that question because it's a given. We all have it. We may not all have money, but we all have time and we have the same amount of time. The question is whether or not we should invest that time in the next hour or 2 hours or the next week. There's a lot of necessary things that require our time. The bulk of our time, sleeping, working, and eating, consumes most of our time, and it's only natural. Somewhere, we need to have time for God. And it's burdensome to hear Christians say, I don't have time for God. You know, work, sleep, and eat. And then I don't have time for God, or I don't have much time for God. But they have time for entertainment. They have time to amuse themselves. Who knows? Doing whatever. Really. I would say that if I don't have time for God, to spend time with Him, I better not be found playing video games or engaging in any type of entertainment, even if it's good, clean, healthy. Time must be managed, just like money needs to be managed. Only with time, it's a lot more serious. For two reasons. Our life consists of time. It's made up of time. Everything in our lives revolves around time. Time is a measure of your spending your life. We take money and we spend money. Well, now in life, with this time that we've been given, we're spending our life with that time. Whatever we're doing with our life in this segment of time, we have just exchanged our life for this time. It's pretty serious. You follow? Exchanging our life for this segment of time. We do it all the time. All day long, we exchange our life for time. Time is different than money in that you can't earn it, you can't save it, you can't borrow it, you can't lend it out. Money, you can do all of those things. Time, you can't. The only thing you can do with time, the only thing I can do with time is spend it. Money we can save, money we can borrow, money we can lend out, time you can't. You choose to do nothing with the next 5 minutes, it's your choice, but you'll never regain those 5 minutes. You can't save these 5 minutes and add them to this hour over here. You can't say, well, today I'm so tired, I'm going to cut my day short. I'm going to have a 20-hour day today, and then tomorrow I'll have a 28-hour day. You can't do that with time. When time is gone, it's gone. All we can do is spend it. So it's important that we spend it wisely. I think it's good for us in this whole aspect of time. It's helpful and needful to have a vision and a goal for our personal life and the life of our family. So that we redeem it. Someone who just kind of takes life as it comes is a huge time waste. There's a lot of time that just falls to the wayside. Oh, just whatever happens. No vision, no goal, no purpose. All of us probably have experienced the reality of time passing quickly. Like, it's hard to believe that an hour and a half ago, this service started. An hour and a half ago, we started this second service. Does it feel like an hour and a half? Maybe to you it does. To me it doesn't. 90 minutes gone. Today a child's born, and just a short little segment of time, they graduate high school. Time just gone. Then they get married, and all of a sudden you have grandchildren, the age that you remember your children. We're not there, but I've heard people talk about that. I can only relate to time passing so swiftly. Moses, in Psalm 90, he prayed to God, saying, teach us to number our days. For what purpose? That we may apply our hearts to days. Pass so fast. That should be our approach to the question of the use of time for entertainment. Is it using time wisely? Is this the best way I can spend this time? I'm going to ask us some questions just to further stimulate our mind on this aspect of time and how we're spending it. How much time do I spend looking for funnies on the internet? Just something funny, something make me laugh. And then how much time do I spend sending that around to other people? How much time do I spend or allow my children to spend playing video games? How much time do I spend just surfing, just browsing the internet? I don't need to find anything specific. I'm just surfing. How many text messages do I send and receive in a day? Are they important? Are they uplifting? Are they encouraging? How much time do I spend listening to the news? There's nothing I can do about what I don't like about it as far as what's on the news, but I spend time, hours in the news. Again, I hope it's not like that here, but this is where a bulk of the time. Compare the amount of time spent on those kinds of entertainment activities to what you spend in personal Bible study, prayer, and ministry. How's that compare? Again, if you don't have time for Bible study, for prayer, and for ministry to others, there should be no time for these entertainment. Entertainment creates habit, maybe wasteful habits. It can cause a desire, hunger within one of us that outgrows our bid. Number three, influence. A lot of the things that are done for entertainment are done many times with other people. So we need to take into consideration the influence that the activity will have on me, the influence that my company will have on me, and the influence that I will have on them. We need to consider all of those. Proverbs 13:20 states, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now I know, we're called to reach out. We're called to share the gospel, the good news. I realize that as we do that with people that you become acquainted with, you might even form casual relationships, friendships with, and that's okay. Jesus was known to be a friend of the tax collectors. Jesus was known to be a friend of sinners, but I don't think any one of us would question what Jesus did when he was with the tax collectors or with the sinners. Our time spent with them should also be without question. There needs to be a clear vision, clear purpose for our engagement with them. We either influence them or they will influence. There's a danger in these casual relationships. And one of those dangers is that you form this relationship. They have their own drive and desires, even for entertainment. And so they invite you to participate in their entertainment. If the principles of God's word aren't very real to you, guess what's going to happen? You'll engage. You'll take them at their invitation. You'll sit down in their living room. You might go down the road to the main theater in town just because you don't want to forfeit that relationship. You don't want to hurt them. You don't want to let them down. Guess what? You're called to influence them. And influencing them doesn't mean you run with them. Don't want to let them down? Guess what happens? We let God down. We should be more concerned about not letting God down. And if it hurts them, it's sad. And it would hurt us, no doubt, to see that. But we should be more concerned about not letting God. We need to make sure that we're influencing them, not them influencing us. We can't run with them. Read Psalm 1. Where should the child of God find himself? Where should he not find himself? He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. In light of trying to reach others, and we realize that they have their own desires, they have their own pull, we need to make sure that that doesn't become a part of us. So let's ask yourself, if you are involved in reaching out and you've developed some of these relationships, is God using you to help them become more godly or to become godly? Or is the devil using them to make you worldly? Now, again, I hope the latter. I hope that the latter would not be true, but that the first part of it, that would be the heart of God. Influence, very, very real. Number 4, type of entertainment, the content of entertainment, very crucial to godliness. What is the nature or the message of entertainment? Is it compatible with a biblical worldview and in walking Christ? Is it godly or is it worldly? Again, this can be asked of a variety of forms of entertainment, whether it be the theaters, some other performance show, movies, videos, music, radio, television, the internet, the digitized media, whatever it is. The world, our society, would tell us nothing wrong with any one of these. As a child of God, we must evaluate, we must discern these activities, these mediums, by the standard of God's word. I gave the example this morning. Again, I didn't even ask now. You probably know exactly which artist I'm referring to. I didn't even want to say the name. Very, very well-renowned artist, known for at least one portrait in specific, probably more. This painting finds itself in different museums. People go there, gaze at, think, they walk. What a painting. History, the world, secular history would tell us, what a beautiful painting. Priceless. Worthy to be hung in the walls of museums. The sad thing is, a picture of an inmodern. But society says, oh, beautiful, great piece of art. They're entertained by it. And I'm sure they walk away with entertaining thoughts that are not healthy, that are sinful, that are lustful. But the world says, we look at it as the people of God, we should be looking at it and say, it violates the principle of modesty and the shame of public nudeness. We should be in disgust of what the world exalts. Now, what about professional sports? Professional sports as a form of entertainment. How should we view it? How should we relate to it? Should Christians be found in sports arenas? Tiger Stadium, the Blue Jay, whatever they're called. I don't even know the names. Should we be found there in the way of seeking entertainment? The sport itself might be innocent. You know, we could go outside and play a game of baseball and would think nothing of it, right? But it takes on a different twist when it becomes a professional thing. It's idolized. There's gambling. There's drunkenness. I don't know what all goes on there. I've never gone to a professional stadium. But from what I hear, what goes on there, it's idolatry in many ways. And a Christian would go there and seek entertainment there? I mean, they do, but we shouldn't. Again, just because something itself in itself might be okay doesn't mean it's okay for the Christian. Baseball is not wrong, but it's a whole new level when it's out there. I say that the modern day stadiums have become, like the stadiums, the arenas, they've become our modern day coliseums. And if we were to ever really in depth, in detail, see what happened in the coliseums, we would want no part of it. But there was a lot of entertaining taking place. It's a little bit like moving on from professional sports to, you know, full contact sports like boxing. Should we entertain ourselves with boxing? Here they are beating each other to a pulp to the point, I'm not even sure how it all works. They probably have a time limit or maybe, I don't know how it works, but to see who can beat the other person up the worst. That's the goal, right? I think the ultimate goal is to put them out of commission. Bloodied, broken, and it's entertaining. You have martial arts. Christians are entertained by boxing on a different level than martial arts in my books. I'm not endorsing that we seek boxing as entertainment. I'm saying we don't. But that's two men fighting with their own strength and talent and ability or lack thereof and beating each other up. Nothing glorifying to God about that. Nothing there that would would complement godliness within me. But that's one level of entertainment to which God says, I have no delight, no pleasure in the strength of a man. Not in his legs, not in his arms. No delight, no pleasure. And if God says no, we should say no. But then you move into this martial arts thing. And I dabbled with that as a teenager. I have a little bit of an idea. And it involves witchcraft. It involves satanic powers. Martial artists are not just fighting with their own natural ability and strength. They are dabbling with evil powers. And Christians enjoy it. A source of entertainment for the child. That should not be. It's not innocent. It's evil. And this thing of boxing and martial arts, whatever you call it, is very close. Very close to us. I see it and I hear it just at my workplace alone. It scares me. I'm going to say this because he's not here right now. I'm doing everything I can to keep Jesse away from that influence of the worker. Because as an unregenerate young person, he will naturally gravitate towards something like that. We should be jealous for the souls, our souls and the souls of others. But the one that is watching this kind of stuff thinks it's funny, thinks it's neutral. He sees no harm in it. But I don't want that rubbed off on this young man. Thing is so close. Any one of us probably has relatives that engage in this kind of entertainment. I say, let's be careful for the souls of our children. Here's a few principles to consider from the Word of God. Follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. And bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Okay, in light of entertainment. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Principle that we need to consider. You know, it's crucial. We need to be careful about what, you know, the things that we participate in and the things that we allow to influence our mind. I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. I don't like shooting, killing, violent games. Whether it's children playing or whether it's a video game of some sort. That, to me, should be a forbidden thing in a Christian home. Because what does that promote? It does not promote godliness. Philippians 4:8 is a good, good gauge to use when it comes to the Christian life as a whole, but very specifically here this morning in light of entertainment. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Let's just quickly look at some of these words here. Whatsoever is true. In the Greek, that literally means not hidden, unconcealed. Free from deception. The entertainment that we engage in should be truthful and should refrain from presenting lies, truth. If lies are promoted as truth, that alone should tell us not good, not healthy. Think on things that are honest, honorable, noble. That word honest there means to revere, to worship. Much of what we entertain ourselves with or allow ourselves to be entertained with affects our mind.
Paul says that would be something that is reverential, something that leads you to worship. You know, entertainment that defames God automatically should be off the list. Whatsoever is just, whatsoever is righteous, the safest and cleanest form of entertainment that I can think of is simply God's. Not what man has invented, not what man has concocted, but what God has created. That's safe. So whatever is just, righteous, whatsoever is pure, pure there meaning holy, free from every fault, unpolluted by sin, chaste, talking about not, I think, not just holiness as in, but in every which way, even more and morally pure. Lovely, that which is lovely, think on those things. Lovely, not in terms of man, but in terms of what God sees. Of good report, that which is virtuous, excellence, worthy, that which is worthy of praise. Think on these things. Our entertainment should meet Philippians 4:8. Now for our final question, the issue of control. Does the entertainment that I enjoy, that my family enjoys, does it control me or do I control it? Huge difference. The Apostle Paul says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the bondage of or the power of any. He's talking in the context of things that are okay, that are right, lawful. And Paul says, I will not be brought under the power or the bondage of anyone. So even if any particular entertainment passes all the conditions, you have money, you have time, the company and the content might be okay, they're good, you might still need to avoid some forms of entertainment just because it dominates you. When something dominates us, it controls us. It becomes a thing that we live for and think we can't live without. That then needs to go. It's very dangerous to stay there. As a child of God, we only have one master. Bible clearly says, Jesus himself says, you cannot serve two masters. We only have one master. It's Jesus. He's to control our life. So let's use Philippians 4:8 as a biblical filter to keep out the bad stuff and allow in what is acceptable before God. I'm going to read a quote here, and I don't have his name here. Didn't write it down. But I like what he has to say. Ultimately, the whole issue comes down to your perspective, your attitude toward evil. How do you see evil? Does your heart see uncleanness and impurity as God does? Does your heart ache along with his over sin and immorality? The scripture says simply, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. To abhor something is to want nothing to do with it. Is that where your heart is? Or have the pleasures of the world, as set forth in the movies, shaped your heart to tolerate what is evil instead of abhorring it? If so, God is calling such to repentance, end quote. Again, I don't have his name, but I think what he's saying is true, and it's a good challenge. The movie industry, the whole entertainment industry, has done a good job of desensitizing the mind of the Christian, where Christians find themselves neutral on things that God hates. Entertainment is very, very powerful. It's a good thing, can be a good thing, but can also be a very bad thing, very devastating. Let's allow the principles of God's word to direct us and make decisions for ourselves and our families based on the principles of God's word. And again, I don't know of a better filter than Philippians 4:8. And when seeking entertainment, looking for a place, a getaway, the safest place is God's creation. It's just simply the safest. Let's pray. Father, we come before you again at the close of the service. We commit what has been shared and all that has not been shared to you and ask you, God, to work in our hearts. Thank you, Father, for each one that is here and that has a desire to be godly. And Father, we pray that you would increase that desire within each one of us and that we would find ourselves becoming yet more godly and more godly and more godly. Changed from glory to glory to glory. Father, we pray that you would protect us from the onslaught, the many onslaught of the various entertainment forms that society would tell us we need. Protect us, Father. Deliver us from evil. Dismiss us, Father, with your blessing. We ask it in Jesus' name.